So yeah, man. First of all, thanks so much for taking the time to be online with me. I really appreciate it. As I mentioned before, I really enjoyed our man, I'm freezing up again.
Yeah, you're frozen. I can still hear you though.
All right, well, that's a good sign. Man, I have no idea what's going on today. There we go. All right, cool. So I really enjoyed watching your videos for the 30-day challenge, and then I saw your picture with you sitting at your kids' table, and I loved it. And I thought, man, I must have you on my show and talk to you about entrepreneurship, and maybe if we could get some some questions in there regards to fatherhood, that would be amazing. So let's get right on the show with started with the show. Can you share with us your story, who you are, how you got here, et cetera, et cetera?
Sure, man. My name is Akbar Sheikh, and I'm here in Dallas, and we specialize in EPOP, what I call EPOP, which is Ethical Principles of Persuasion. There's basically five things. When we take a look at all funnels that are suffering, that are not doing well, that are stuck, that are not making the kind of money that they should be, we notice that they're lacking in five things. There's five things in their funnel that's gone terribly wrong. That's kind of what we help them fix, and those are EPOP, what I call the five ethical principles of persuasion. So that's what we specialize in. We've had the honor of helping eight funnels hit seven figures, a bunch of them hit six. We're trying to help entrepreneurs make more so they can give more back to their families, communities, and favorite charities, hence making this world a better place.
Awesome. Yeah, I was checking out your website and your Facebook page and taking a look at everything. So that's the first thing, because your story is really inspiring. You also show a little bit of your how you started all this, right? So and you mentioned that's the first thing you're saying, like we want you to make more, to give more. And I think, that's one of the things that's so important. And I was just wondering, man, from the humble beginnings that you had. Because most people are like, yeah. For you, it's easy now. You got your really good company, business, you're making the money, so it's easy. And I'm just wondering from your end, because I know you have a good philosophy around giving. Can you explain a bit for the people that are like, okay, if you don't have any money, what were the kind of things that you did to give?
Yeah, man. I mean, like, I think that's a big misconception. People are saying, oh, when I make money, I'll give it or this and that. But giving has somehow been associated directly hand in hand with money. Like, you can't say giving without people think money. Do you know what I mean? And that's unfortunate. Because giving money is just one of the tools we have to give, one of the resources we have to give, but it's not the only one, and in a lot of cases it's not even the most powerful one. Giving is just about helping. Some people might be short on their rent or whatever. They might need, yes, financial resources, or they might just need some advice on, maybe their spending habits are terrible, maybe they're fiscally irresponsible, maybe they just need some good advice. Even that's helping. You see, here's the thing. Bottom line is this: God has gifted all of us with gifts. So you have a gift, I have a gift, we all have gifts. Question is, are you using your gifts for good? Are you using your gift to help others? That's really what it's all about. So it's like whatever resources, I say, look, if you have money, give. If you don't have money, give your time. If you don't have time, call somebody up, make them smile. Or pray for someone. I mean, that's giving too. So there's never, I mean, give the giving really starts from day one.
That's very powerful. I like that you can just send somebody a message or call them, as you mentioned, is even more powerful, and give them a good feeling, so it's another way of giving. I like that, and that's basically easy, although we don't really think about it, do we?
It's a beautiful thing when it starts to become second nature, but it takes a little reprogramming.
Exactly. I like that. Great. So what we mentioned, man, as I told you, I'd like to talk about entrepreneurship. For me, as a fearless father, it's all about being an entrepreneur, so you can make a huge impact in this world and a huge impact on your kids' life, right? However, most of us, we're really afraid to take that step into becoming an entrepreneur and really try to make that impact. And we're even sometimes afraid to being a father, right? And I'm sure you've been through fears, and I'm just wondering, you know, what's your approach to deal with fear and make sure that it doesn't hold you back?
I think it's a beautiful relationship. I think fear is a blocker, you know, of success. Fear is an obstacle in the way of your success. And the thing is, as entrepreneurs, my dad always told me this when I was a kid, like, we are bulldozers. You know, it's our job to go over any of these obstacles that's helping us from scaling. How do I personally, you know, get over that? My mindset is such where I truly believe that God loves all of us. And I believe that he wants the best for all of us. And I believe every single thing happens for a reason. So, you know, I mean, not too long ago, I broke my leg. We were fooling around in, on Segways, just driving on me and my cousins, just having fun. Just fell. I mean, we crashed into each other and I fell. And it was actually a freak accident. It never happened before, they said. It was a freak accident. I broke my, I forget, fibula, tibula, something. Why? Why did my leg break? Why? It was excruciating pain. I heard the crack. I mean, it was so painful. I was writhing in pain on the floor. Why was I, you know, then I had to recover. Then it was like difficult. It was difficult getting in and out of bed. Difficult. I couldn't even shower. It was real difficult. Why? You know, should I be mad about that? Should I be frustrated about that? Should I could have been. I could have been like, oh man, just my luck. Here we go again. Oh man. Why? There's good in it. There's got to be good in it. God made that happen. God loves us very much. So there's good in it. I don't know. Something good is fine. That's the plan. Probably saved me from something better. Maybe if I didn't break my leg, I would have gone driving somewhere. I would have gotten into a car accident that would have broken all my bones. You know, you got to look at it like that. So everything happens for our betterment, man. So like even, I mean, just the other day, you know, these things happen. I think, you know, I mean, there was a $25,000 deal that didn't work out because the person decided to go into some other sort of software. Meaningless. I didn't even flinch. It didn't mean anything. Do you know what I mean? When you understand and you're in the mind frame that there's a master plan and everything happens for a reason and it's all for your betterment, then that really helps to reduce fear dramatically.
Exactly. And then you use that fear to even propel you to make a bigger impact or to make an even better advantage with your work and attached iron.
You know, truth be told, man, I mean, I used to be homeless. I mean, truth be told, I was never worried about money, never got scared about money. We're humans. We can speak, we can walk, we can talk, we can breathe. That means we can make money. I've never worried about, oh my God, my bill is due next month. Oh my God, my mortgage is due. Oh my God, the groceries. Oh my God. I just never thought about that. Never. Even when I was completely broke. Because the thing, I mean, come on, we're entrepreneurs. We are born with the tools needed to generate revenue, to make impact. You know, I mean, I don't even understand how you can kind of question these things. Like, oh my God, this bill is due. How am I going to get? Dude, we live in the golden era right now. Like, if you're an online entrepreneur, it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful blessing. It's such a great thing. It's not hard to make revenue online these days. Mm-hmm. I should do this sometime where someone challenges me, but oh, man, I'm just going to go get a new client today. And I can do it, I promise you. You know, anybody can. You know, it's like back in the day, even when I didn't have money, it's like, oh, don't have money? Okay, I'll go downtown and tell some jokes, you know, and people will give you cheese. You know what I mean? It's like, if you're an entrepreneur and you know you're an entrepreneur and you have these tools, then you will generate revenue no matter what. The only person stopping you would be your own self.
Exactly.
You know, like today, right? This morning, I kind of didn't want to, I just wanted to hang out. So I didn't really work. I just decide to hang out. It's all decisions that you make. You know, you can decide to make money, you can decide to worry about it.
Exactly. All about decisions. I like that. That's powerful. We actually got a question from Paolo. He wants to know a little bit more about, because you just mentioned, you know, I was broke and humble beginnings. You know, he wants to know a little bit more about how you build everything up, and especially how did you build up your credibility?
That's easy, man. It's easy. I mean, that's the easiest thing, right? I mean, like, let's just say tomorrow I decide to become a Facebook marketer. Tomorrow I decide that I'm going to do a Facebook agency. Nobody knows me in this world. I have no credibility in Facebook ad agency. Mm-hmm. Simple. Just get some people some results. And results happen quickly. Sign up a client. I offer to work for them for free. Last semester they did 20 signups. This semester I helped them do 40. Hey, I just doubled your revenue in a matter of a few weeks. Simple. If you're good at what you do, then you're going to get people results. If you're good at what you do, then you're going to get people results. And if you're not good at what you do, then you need to get good at what you do before anything else. The first thing is you become awesome at what you do. The rest is easy, man. Just getting people results.
Exactly, exactly. All right, great. Thank you. I appreciate that. The biggest change for me that happened this year and was starting my morning routine. I never done that before, but I heard a lot of successful people mentioning that, you know, you got to have a wonderful morning routine. So I'm just wondering, how does are you just as strict as as everybody I've seen so far because of that morning routine, or how is that set up for you, and what are the kind of things that you must do that help you have a full day or a fantastic day?
You know, it's funny, man. My mornings are chaotic, man. I got two kids. I got a 1-year-old and a 2-year-old. Wow. You know, you look at sorry, man. Give me 1 second. I think this is my contractor. He might need me. 1 second. Let me talk to him 1 quick second.
Sure, hello. No problem. Hello? Thank you for your question, Paolo. I hope you you got the answer that you were looking for. If not, you can also put it in the chat so I can easily see it. Okay, that's no problem.
Okay, sorry about that. My morning's pretty nuts, man. I got a 1-year-old and a 2-year-old, and a lot of these people, you know, who have all these crazy morning routines, they don't have kids. You know, a lot of them don't. Some of them might do. Well, first thing I do when I get up is I pray. That's like consistent. You know, that's the consistent thing. I'm for waking up early. Not much of a morning person, to be honest with you. So I get up, I pray, and the kids take over my morning, to be honest with you, man. Just getting them up, changing them, feeding them, getting ready for school. Then I take them to school, and I get to the office at around about 10 o'clock, a little bit before 10. I kind of start my work day. I kind of start at 10. Of course, you know, when I wake up, I have an addiction problem. First thing, you know, I pray, and then, of course, I check my phone, see what's happening. And then honestly, no real routine, man, because my routine is just with the kids. And then I get to work a little bit before 10 and I would just grind it out.
Exactly. And this is the one thing that I really enjoy, is being able as an entrepreneur and a father to wake up my kids and get them ready, get them to school and all those kind of things and pick them up, etc., and have that freedom. However, you know, the one thing I'm also struggling with is, you know, I also want to spend a lot of time on my business, especially now this, you know, this is my new business. I've just started working on that and I want to make a huge impact as fast as possible. So I'm struggling a little bit with that time management kind of thing. So I'm just wondering, you know, do you have a system to organize your time or how do you do that?
I'll tell you one thing. First of all, I guess I want to say this to some of the entrepreneurs out there, you know, I'm all about, I support having a routine. I think it's a great thing, but I also want to let some of the entrepreneurs know that, hey, it's not entirely necessary. You know, I don't have one. I do pretty well. You know what I mean? So I just want to, like, hopefully that helps somebody who's like, dude, I tried these morning stuff and it's not working. And that they use that as an excuse. That's not an excuse. If you don't have a morning routine, that doesn't mean you can't be successful. Do you know what I mean? So you don't necessarily need one. As far as time management goes, look, you've got to accomplish at least 3 things a day that's going to move your business forward. At least 3 things a day that's going to move your business forward. I like to schedule things. Truth is, man, I don't really follow my schedule either. Meaning, like, my own, like, if I, like with you, I was on time, right? We were supposed to start and I came on time. Right. But, like, if I schedule myself, okay, dude, go over these emails. Like,
that might work, that might not work. So I like to write a list, at least like I have a reminder list, real simple. I just have a reminder, like I need to do these things today. So like before I was doing something great, before I was on this and after this interview, I'm gonna do something great. Going over emails, I'm doing a new email sequence for people who join my Facebook group. They're gonna get into a sequence where I'm gonna give them value. It's gonna get them to my webinar where, you know, we sell them on our coaching program, which our students are crushing it. We've helped 8 funnels hit 7 figures. So that's a big thing. So, I mean, like today, for example, what am I doing? Okay, so we're building a new funnel, a new coaching funnel. And I made the best video ever. So that was one thing, went over that. Talked to my executive assistant about, doing a secret project within my 7-figure family, which is my inner circle. Then I'm working on these, I'm building a new email sequence. It's not even lunchtime, so we're doing this. In fact, honestly, if I finished the email sequence and I took the rest of the day off, I had a good day, to be honest with you. But it's about like, it's about avoiding the traps, man, the shiny objects, and this I reminded myself, dude, like get the hell off of Facebook. You know, I mean, you should look at it every day for a little bit for market research, but dude, now if you have an iPhone, I have an iPhone, and you update to the latest iOS, like, and I'm sure there's apps if you don't have an iPhone, but it tells you how much screen time you do every day. You'll be disgusted if you find out how much time you're wasting. There's plenty of time, dude. No, and the other thing is like, look, I've got some sales calls today, but guess what? I'm not taking them. My sales team is taking them. You know, so now I don't have to do that. I'm doing what I do best, and then I outsource the rest. You know what I mean? My story is a little different now, though, bro. I take it a little bit easy because, you know, we do well. And, you know, I've got a couple of kids and stuff like that. But listen, I worked very, very hard, you know, last year, night and day. I mean, to the point where it damaged my relationship with my wife. I mean, I work so hard. You know, so I'm taking it a little bit more easy now. But I still work every day from like 10 to 5 every single day. I guess that's taking it easy. I guess my 40 hours now is taking it easy. Yeah, 40, 50 hours a week. That's me taking it easy, I guess. But, you just got – the key is to write it out. The key is to write that today I want to accomplish this and don't go home until I do this, these three things. That's the key for me anyway.
Exactly. And as you mentioned, because you just said something very important, and that's something I've recently learned through this course – the 30-day challenge with Russell Brunson, right? He was saying, look, don't focus on how to do something, just focus on who can do it. You just mentioned a little bit like, I let my team do that. Is that something that, how have you set that up? How have you come about to really control that? And I think it's also maybe a little bit ego thing for me. It's like, no, I got to figure this out first myself. You're smiling, so you know what I'm talking about. Can you explain a little bit? Set that all up.
So that's always funny. Like I'm technologically illiterate. You know, I have no idea about tech. I'm not interested in tech. I don't try to figure out anything. I have tech people who handle that, right? Now you're talking about that ego thing. I had something similar with my sales call. I'm like, dude, no, I'm really good at sales calls. My closing ratio is really high. Nobody knows my program better than me. So for a while, I was taking on my own sales calls. That was such a big mistake. Because the truth is, it's just math at the end of the day. You know, it's just about closing ratio. You know, there's no reason in the world you can't get a good sales team, good sales guy to close at 20-25%. Of course, I'm talking about high ticket items, like our coaching programs. There's no reason in the world you can't do that. You know, you should, and the commission only. You know, it took me a little while to find. I had to try a few teams. You know, some sales guys will say anything to close a sale. I was not interested in that. I need ethical salespeople who only sold to someone who would benefit from it and who would take advantage of it. You know, we're a little different though, bro. We're not like, you know, it's not all about the money for us. We're not like the wham bam, thank you, man. We're not gonna sell to anybody. You know what I mean? Like some people do. But you got to just find the team and it's through a lot of trial and error, dude. Like I've had to hire a lot of people before finding great people. Mm-hmm. A lot of trial and error, a lot of wasted money. I've learned a few things on how to skip all that, which I teach my students, you know. But yeah, man, having a team is essential. Otherwise you should really only be wearing one hat. You know what I mean?
I appreciate you sharing that. I'm also wondering, because from the conversation so far, I noticed that you're different from the people that I've spoken to so far, because everybody's very strict and then you just focus on what you have to focus on and everything else can come as it goes. I'm wondering, Are you a person that reads a lot, or is that something that's not so important for you? How does that come into your growing as a successful entrepreneur?
Most people read a lot more than me, but I'll tell you something. I think I read better than most people. And what I mean by that is people will come up to me and be, man, your book was awesome. I read your whole book yesterday. I'm like, oh, dude, come on. That means I failed you. That means you didn't listen to the instructions in the book. Because in my definition, the right way to read a book, the proper way to read a book is to read a little bit. You know, so what I do is I read a couple of pages. Mm-hmm. And I'll put my bookmark. And I will write notes on what I just learned. And I'll turn that into a to-do list. So, huh, that's interesting. Okay, so I should take this lesson and I should apply it and implement it in this aspect of my business. So I'll do that. And then I'll go, and then after I implement, then I'll go back and read some more. So I read a little bit. I read a little and I implement a lot.
Wow, that just opened my eyes. Yeah, I've been struggling with that because you keep hearing, you got to read. And I'm reading and I'm struggling to get through this book, and I'm finally through this book, and I'm like, yeah, so what? Now I can say I read a book in a month, or yeah, I don't know, however long it took me, and it still got nowhere. I like that. I'm gonna do that exactly. That way I don't have to.
I think you've touched a very interesting topic here, and that is, like, dude, you don't want to go out there and listen to all the noise. Like, all the noise, so you have to have a morning routine, and you got to read. And you don't have to do any of that. You don't have to read all the time. You don't have to have some crazy morning routine. listen. You can carve your own way. You really should. Here's the best advice I can give somebody. Find a mentor that you align with. You know, that which is actually why I became a coach, is because I got so much success from having a coach. So find a coach, find a mentor, number one, that you resonate with. And when you listen to them talk, you're like, huh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, you know, everyone else says that, but this guy's actually making sense. So find someone like that. Hire them, implement what they tell you to do, and don't give up, and you're going to win. It the formula is really just that simple.
Nice. That indeed is great advice. In regards to reading, and you mentioned you read a little bit and then you implement, what was, like, maybe the one book or the top three books that you're like, wow, I could read two pages and then I had something already that I need to start implementing?
I mean, the best books, of course, are the holy books, the books of God. That's number one, because even that teaches you so much about business. Nobody talks about that enough, I don't think. But I mean, it'll teach you everything, a lot about business, about ethics, about even morning routines and knowledge. You're talking about reading. So that's the first book. As far as business book goes, it depends what you want to specialize in. Copywriting, there's great books on copywriting by Sugarman. There's great books on strategy. There's great books on building team. You should read on what you're trying to improve. Mm. You know, it should be pretty focused read.
Exactly. So not read to read, as the traps is set and happens with me at least. But read exactly, like, okay, what's my challenge, for example? What's my obstacle? What's my goal? And that's what you find stuff to read on. Whatever. Excellent. Yeah. You mentioned real quick, you came out with a book, is that correct?
Did. We have a book, Practice International Number One Bestseller. What is it called? It's called 7-Figure Funnels to Slap You in the Face with a Cold Blood Fish Blueprint on Hold on. 7-Figure Funnels to Slap You in the Face with a Cold Blood Fish Blueprint on how to build a 7-figure online business in just 7 ethical steps, smiley face.
Nice. And yeah. Can people find that on your website or on Amazon? Or?
Yeah, I tell you what, man, it's $47 right now on Amazon, but I'm happy to give it to your audience for free if they just go to 7figurebook.com.
Cool. Oh, I appreciate that. I will definitely share that link on on the replay that we're going to launch on YouTube and on Facebook. So I really appreciate that. And you mentioned about 30 minutes. Do you have time for like one or two questions more? Is that okay?
Yeah, sure. No problem.
All right. I really appreciate that. So I'm going to take a little bit of advantage of it and be a little selfish. As you know, I shot the video to invite you, and I'm inviting a lot of other people. And I see behind you a big smiley face of Russell Brunson. I also saw Gary Vee behind you. I would love to have those people on my show, but at the same time, I mean, I'm a little nervous now talking to you, right? Because for me, you're there where I ultimately want to be. I'm just wondering, how do you go about with these kind of nerves that might hold you back from meeting these kind of great people and, you know, being ethical and authentic when you're around those kind of guys?
Are you talking about like big influencers like Russell and these guys?
Yeah, exactly. Like people that you really look up to.
I'm still nervous when I talk to these guys, to be totally honest with you. I mean, like, I just left Russell a message. I was nervous about the message. You know, I was nervous. With practice, it gets less and less nervous, but I'm still looking at the time. I want to respect his time, you know, because I really look up to him. So I want to leave a short message. You know, it's nerve-wracking in the beginning. But then, you know, it just gets easier, bro. It's like speaking on stage. The first time I spoke on stage, my left arm went numb.
Wow.
I thought I was going to die. Now I still get a little nervous, but it's way better. And then once people start, you know, clapping or laughing, or you see that they're like really enjoying it, then it just starts feeling good and you really get in the zone. Then it becomes like a drug. You actually just like really enjoy it. So it's kind of the same concept, man. You just got to like, you got to do it, and you know, I promise it gets better. It was a little tough in the beginning, but it doesn't matter because it gets better. It's like a toothache, man. Like, I just had a toothache, and I knew, so man, this is going to suck. As a matter of fact, they were going to extract my tooth. So this is going to be terrible, you know, and it was. It was terrible. I almost fell off my chair in pain. But you know what? Afterwards, I'm pain-free.
Exactly. So you're saying you got to bite through it.
Yeah, man. It's not that bad, to be honest. Look, man. We're all in first. Where are you? You're in Spain.
Yeah,
yeah. We're all in first world countries, man. I mean, there's nothing hard. There's nothing hard here. You know what I mean? I mean, if our biggest problem is like getting nervous meeting an influencer, then life is pretty good. You know what I mean? I mean, turn on the news for 5 minutes. The world news. You'll see it's pretty. I saw this disgusting. I don't know if the word disgusting is appropriate, but I saw this. Disturbing picture of this child, skin and bones. Some third world countries, skin and bones, dying, literally dying of starvation. You go to a restaurant here and there's nothing. An endless sea of wasted food that would save so many lives. So we got no problems here, man. We got no problems here.
That is absolutely true. Now, you also mentioned one of the big things for you is, and now the English becomes anthropology. What are some of the things that you do to help others?
I think it'd be philanthropy.
Philanthropy, sorry. Yep. See, the English, yeah, kept me in the dark. What are some of the things that you do that make a huge impact on less fortunate?
You know, man, everybody, I suggest everybody find a why that makes you cry, you know, because, well, first of all, we empower entrepreneurs. We help entrepreneurs scale, right? So we've helped a lot of people make a lot more revenue, right, when they become a student of mine. And then because of that, they start giving more. Do you see what I'm saying? So that's had a huge ripple effect. I've had students, my students' students, donate more because I teach them some skill set, so they donate more. Then, or they profit, they donate more. Then they teach that to their students, and those students profit more, and they give more. So the ripple effect is profound. Personally, we're passionate about three things. One is giving clean water to Africa. Two is sponsoring orphans all over the world. And number three is giving the gift of vision to blind children by paying for their eye surgery. So that's personally what we're passionate about from a philanthropic point of view.
Nice. That's beautiful. Yeah. I joined what Russell promoted, the OUR. I found that very powerful. Yeah. To, yeah. You know, saving children that are being enslaved.
Yes, that's a very good one.
Yeah, I'm trying to do extra, but it's difficult from over here. But like you mentioned before, man, you just got to try to find things that we can do to give back, even spend our time. I want to involve my kids, but mine is 2 and 5, and I'm not sure how to do this yet. So,
you know, I mean, like, that's the thing, right? But they see us doing this stuff from like a young age, and they grow up with it, and it just kind of becomes a part of them, you know?
Mm. And that's why I was wondering, because your kids are really young, right? 1-year-old and 2-year-old, you mentioned. But are you already thinking, like, What you're going to teach them, if you're going to just send them to school like all the regular kids, or if you're going to homeschool them, if you're going to teach them about funnels and as soon as possible at a young age start building their own company. How's your vision about that?
Excuse me. Oh, I've got a cough. Excuse me. Excuse me. I don't think I want to send them. I'm not sure if I want to send them to public school, probably private school. Mm-hmm. Homeschool, I'm not sure about. I don't think. Oh, man. I got this cough. Sorry, man. Homeschool, I'm not sure about. I don't think my wife or I kind of have the patience to deal with them all day. I think homeschooling is great. But I don't know. Probably private school. And then, of course, you know, they do whatever they want to do. I mean, like, we always were kind of, our dad always raised us saying that you're going to be in business, you're going to be in business, you're going to, I don't think I'm going to do that to my kids. I am a big fan of entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. I am a big fan. I think that if you have what it takes, it's a beautiful thing to be. I think that entrepreneurs make this world a better place. I think they're the movers and shakers. I think they're the ones impacting change. I think it's a beautiful thing to be, and I hope that they are, you know. But, we have respect for the 9-to-5 world, you know. If they're passionate about becoming whatever, a doctor, which I wouldn't encourage them to be, because doctors are now just licensed drug dealers. It's all about the money in that field now, at least over here anyway. But, you know, I don't know if they want to become, I don't know, if they're passionate about landscaping. I mean, I would encourage them to own the company, but if they don't want all that headache, and they're just like, I just want the simple life, and I just enjoy mowing grass, and I want to do a great job at it, and I want to just, you know, listen, whatever makes them happy, I will always encourage them, you know, in a non-pushy way to try to be the best that they can be. Because the thing is, like, the guy who's making $10 an hour and the guy who's making $1,000 an hour have the same amount of hours in a day. Do you know what I mean? So I always want to encourage them to be the best that they can be so that they can make the world a better place. You know, if you went missing tomorrow, is the world going to be impacted? Is it going to be any different? You know, most of my life, no, wouldn't have made any difference in the world. Now I can say, you know, people will suffer. So that's the point I think that people should get to, is where you are having a positive impact.
Nice. That's a very powerful message to end this live interview. I really appreciate that. Just my last question, and I always ask this, you know, how can fathers get in touch with you if they have any other questions, if they want to know, or even if they want to follow you?
Just go to my website, which is my name, .com, akbarsheikh.com. And right there, there's perfect. Follow me on Facebook, check out my website. And we'd love to help, man. We love entrepreneurs. If you have an ethical product or service, you need to make the world a better place, where we're all about helping you out. And it'd be our honor.
That's awesome. I'll make sure that the links will be shared for everybody. So again, I really appreciate you taking the time. I know you're really busy, so it was awesome. And as I mentioned, I was a bit nervous, but I felt really comfortable having this conversation with you. Looking forward to being able to get a hold of your book and be step by step and implementing a lot. So again, man, thanks. I learned tons. It was just awesome. That's why I do this. I hope other people do as well. So wish you best of luck with all your projects. And let's keep in touch, man.
My pleasure, man. Thank you so much. Hope your audience had some benefit.
Oh, they definitely will. I'm sure of that.
Thanks, guys. Talk soon. Peace.
Are you still meeting up with your friends now that you're a father? Kids making you stress out. You got no time for yourself to work out, read, relax. Can you still remember the time you were hanging out with your friends, feeling energetic, happy, and confident, spending time together and talking about your life and your crazy dreams? You're feeling alone now, don't you? No one to share your challenges with, and you're just running around from one storm into the next. Well, it's time to change this now. Join me and the Brotherhood of Fearless Fathers to speak on a weekly basis with like-minded dads to crush your challenges, face your fears with determination, be held accountable, and regain control of your life. If you want to become the hero your family needs you to be, then go to becomeafearlessfather.com/brotherhood. Looking forward to seeing you on one of our next calls.